Today, I interview special guest Stephen Horn as he shares how we can physically heal ourselves by healing emotionally first. He'll share his story and his three spiritual principles used in his spiritual healing process. For over 30 years, Horn has been teaching people how to identify and remove the root causes of their health problems rather than just treating symptoms. A registered herbalist and past president of the American Herbalist Guild, Stephen's passion for herbal medicine and natural healing has led him to teach classes all over the United States, Canada, and in other countries. Through his companies, Tree of Light Publishing and the School of Modern Herbal Medicine, Stephen has produced numerous books, courses, charts, videos, and webinars teaching people about herbal medicine, nutrition, emotional healing, and other topics related to holistic healing. Now, sit back, relax, and enter into the Miracle Zone. Transition at the end, heading into the next stage, it feels like you can't make it. It feels like all hell is breaking out against you. It feels that way because you're almost there. The birth canal is the narrowest. Just before delivery, it's the darkest and the coldest, just before dawn. Hello, I'm Pamela Chapman, and welcome to Miracle Zone, making it reality against circumstance, logic, and economics. Appropriate for today, when it often seems like a changing, chaotic, and very crazy world keeps us in difficult transition. Today is Tuesday, March 13th, and we're coming to you live from our place of miracle, the Winter Rockies in beautiful and spring-like Colorado. We have shifted once again. Thank you for allowing us to have some time out of your incredibly busy schedule to help guide you into your very own dream come true. I'll facilitate your journey into whatever you care to manifest for this time. So whether you are transitioning through a job loss, career change, mate change, empty nest syndrome, retirement, loss of a loved one, life transition, or plain old limbo, we are here to help make the transition as painless as possible. So, we are live with a very special guest today in my part of the world, and we're going to hand this show over to him in a few seconds. First, I just want to take the time to invite Holy Spirit, God, and Jesus, along with all my celestial team that comes, my angel team, we invite you in today. And for all of you who usually listen, we're going to bypass our grounding exercise today, as well as our protection exercises. You can go back to last week's show or anything before and tap into those if you'd like to. But I want to get out of the way because Stephen is here, and he has lots of information to share with us. To get your angel messages, go to yucatanwellness.com. That's Y-U-C-A-T-A-N wellness.com. yucatanwellness.com. And get your messages there. You need no password to hear the beautiful messages that come to us today. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Stephen Horn. Stephen, welcome to the Miracle Zone.
Well, thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
You're
inviting me to talk about one of my favorite subjects, so how can I turn you down?
Well, I'm so happy because, as I said to you earlier, we've been on this subject of healing all year. I've dedicated 2018 to healing, and, you know, we can't heal until we deal with the emotions. So why don't you start, Stephen, telling the audience, our listeners, a little bit about Stephen Horn.
Oh, well, I'm an herbalist. I have been in natural healing for probably close to 40 years, and I got into it because of my health problems. Wasn't finding answers in modern Western medicine. Finally, had become interested in herbs from the point of outdoor survival when I was in Boy Scouts, and began to wonder if maybe this was a better way. Maybe God made medicines, you know, perfect in the first place, and started to discover how to get well. And it's been a journey ever since into not just healing on the physical level, but healing on the mental, emotional, spiritual level. I'm interested in healing on every level of our being. To me, to heal is to make whole. And therefore, it's not just about making the body whole. It's about making our body, mind, and spirit come into alignment. And it's also about us aligning ourselves and creating wholeness in our relationships with others, whether it's in family or business or community or the world as a whole. It's all about creating wholeness. And that's what the emotional healing is about, is helping to create an internal wholeness, okay? Because we talk a lot, you're very well aware that there's a lot of great information out there about the idea of positive mental attitude, right? Of changing your thoughts,
correct.
changing your beliefs. And I got into this and I practiced that and saw it made good results. But then I ran into that there were certain things in my life that I couldn't seem to just change by changing my thoughts, because trying to make a positive affirmation about certain things brought up horribly negative feelings. And it was the discovery of why that happens that led me into what I call emotional healing. Because in order for you to create, you have to not just have a thought, you also have to attach that to emotions, because emotions are what move us to do things and change. And so if you have a negative emotion, it's repelling you away from something, whereas a positive emotion is drawing you towards it. So if you have a negative emotion about something that's positive, you have operating inside of you some kind of an illusionary belief system that is deep in your subconscious mind, that's causing you to basically put darkness for light and light for darkness, good for evil, evil for good, bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter. That's a passage in Isaiah. Okay, in other words, you're seeing the thing through a cloudy lens of an illusionary belief system. And what the story I tell to kind of illustrate this is actually a story I heard many years ago from another natural healer, where he was trying to help a young lady in her 20s lose weight. And every time she'd lose weight, she'd go on a binge and gain it all back. And in investigating her history, he found out she started to gain weight around the age of 5 or 6. And what had happened is she'd had an uncle who tried to sexually molest her. And although he'd been caught before he'd succeeded, it had been a very traumatic experience in the family, and everybody was upset. And of course, there's a lot of this very negative emotion, right? You know, fear, anger, whatever, rolling around. And her mom says, it's a shame she's not fat, because fat girls don't get molested. So here's where the dragon comes in. You understand? The subconscious mind picks up the belief system that in order to be safe from this happening again, I have to be overweight. So what happens is now when I want to go to a positive direction, of losing weight because maybe I'm interested in you know, having a relationship with someone of the opposite sex or whatever, and I want to be attractive, then suddenly I can't do it because something in my subconscious mind subverts it. And it subverts it because it's trying to protect me. Because deep down inside, we all want what's good and we want to avoid what's painful. So in order for that to heal, you have to go in and confront what I call that dragon. You have to confront that pain and go through it and realize that the belief is an illusion, that you're not experiencing pleasure, joy, and happiness by being overweight, right?
Right.
You're experiencing pain and suffering and whatever, and you're not really any safer than you were before, right?
Correct. Right. So what you're saying, let me make sure, excuse me, that we understand. So are you saying that we have to tap into the subconscious, the unconscious that obviously we're not aware of, and bring up the emotional feelings from there, from an unconscious level?
Well, actually, the belief is in the unconscious. The belief has become so much a part of my being that I can't see that it's a belief. I just accept that it's true. All right?
Gotcha. Yes.
But here's where I learned something that I think is really, really different than what a lot of people teach. I don't believe there's any such thing as a negative emotion, really. I think all of our emotions are telling us the truth.
They're telling
us the truth, but we don't know how to listen to what the emotion is trying to tell us. And let me back up a little bit into the physical healing realm. The most important discovery I ever made in physical healing was that symptoms were not disease. Because
symptoms
in physical healing, symptoms are not disease. Symptoms are either messages from the body that we need something or that something's wrong, or they're actually, in many cases, what the body is trying to do to heal itself. In fact, all of the symptoms of acute illness, coughing, sneezing, runny noses, diarrhea, throwing up, skin eruptions and everything, are actually created by your immune system in the process of fighting the disease. So everything you do to suppress the symptoms, you're actually fighting your body's, what your body's trying to do to get well. When I learned that, I quit trying to fight what my body was doing to get well and started trying to figure out how I could help my body do what it wanted to do. And I dramatically found you could get rid of most colds in less than 24 hours if you actually help the body flush out what's irritating it rather than trying to suppress the symptoms, which are generated. See, and so what happens is I realized we practice emotional allopathy on each other. We make each other feel guilty because, oh, you feel angry, you shouldn't feel that way. Oh, you feel sad, you shouldn't feel that way. Oh, you're afraid, you shouldn't feel that way. So we learn to suppress stuff, deny our emotions, and project the blame for them on other people instead of being willing to feel. And because of that,
and especially in men, especially men are told not to feel. You shouldn't have any emotions. Correct.
Well, actually, let's rephrase that. Men are permitted usually the emotion of being angry, although they're criticized for it, because anger is seen as a more masculine emotion. Women are actually often inhibited from being angry because it's, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Different people have different emotions. Well, the thing is that all of these emotions actually have a useful purpose. Anger is what allows you to stand up for yourself when someone's abusing you. The grieving process is how you let go of something that you've lost. Fear is telling you to be alert, be awake, and make good choices. Every one of these emotions is trying to urge you towards a constructive action. But because you're in denial of it and because you don't understand how to tune in and be real with yourself, you're ignoring the messages that your emotions are giving you, and you're overriding them with your belief systems. And I'll tell you, when you take a constructive action, it will always bring you good things, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you're engaged in activities that are counterproductive, you will always have negative feelings because the negative feelings are telling you that you're not handling this situation properly. And so as long as you're trying to deny what you feel, you're going to be stuck in the behavior patterns that are not serving you.
Right, right.
So you have to get real with yourself and realize what I'm doing isn't working. What I'm doing isn't working. And the emotional pain I'm experiencing is like if I repeatedly do something to injure my body, the pain tells me to stop, right?
Right.
So the quote-unquote negative emotions are telling me I need to stop doing certain things.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So what you're saying, because this is very interesting, and I just want to make sure that I'm understanding it correctly in the listeners. So, in other words, when we're feeling angry or when we're feeling the grief or the guilt or whatever it is that we're feeling, you're saying that we should embrace that feeling, not suppress or repress that feeling.
Yeah, in
correct?
Fact, there are yeah, that's right. There are two destructive things you do with your emotions. One of them is to suppress it, to deny the fact that you're angry. The other one is to project the blame for it on other people. You're responsible for my anger.
Mm-hmm.
Understand?
Right.
If I make somebody else responsible for my emotion, then what I'm saying is that they have to change. In order for me to have peace and joy and happiness, they have to change.
Yes.
But your emotion is never telling someone else to change.
Right. That's
it's
right.
It's telling you to change.
It's telling, that's right, that's right. So instead of projecting that onto other people, which we seem to do. I mean, we just look
at
the
news.
Oh, we do. Here's a huge example of what's going on in our world today. Everyone else is at blame for what is going on internally, but we don't seem to be aware of that.
So what I'm saying is, most of us only know those two strategies for dealing with our emotions. You either stuff it and deny it and suppress it and pretend you don't feel that way, or you blame it on other people and tell them that they have to change in order for you to be happy. Do you know, neither one of them works.
Mm-hmm. Neither one
one of them brings you back to a place of peace and love and joy and happiness and an inner strength, because they're both disempowering.
Disempowering, yes.
Okay.
I love that.
Most people don't.
Go, carry on.
most people don't. Most people do not know how to feel. We are so taught to suppress our feelings that they're so inhibited. And since emotion or feeling moves the body, it moves the breath, it moves our muscles, it makes us act. When you suppress emotions, your muscles tense. All the muscles that would be involved in expressing that emotional energy tense. Your breathing becomes more shallow, and you develop what we can call body armor, okay? So this tension and everything is holding on like an emotional powder keg, like a dam. Okay, so let's say that you're suppressing anger, right? You don't want to be, you want to be nice, you want to be a good person, you don't want to be angry, angry people are bad, blah, blah, blah. All right, so you're sitting here, and there are things going on in your life that you don't like, and you're starting to feel angry, and you're stuffing it and denying it and trying to be nice and good and everything, and then that one little thing happens, right, that just tips the keg, and all that anger that you've been holding inside blows up, and you lose your temper, and you da 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 da, and you explode, and then and then you feel guilty, and you go, oh my God, what did I do? Blah blah blah. But see, all of that happens because I don't know how to tune into the anger and say, what do I need to do? What do I need to do to find my way back to peace? See, okay, I just got married last year. And my
congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. My stepkids have, they're not really respectful of other people's property, you know. So they would take my tools and leave them out in the yard and stuff like that, right? Now, okay, so I feel angry about this, right?
Yes.
Now,
yes.
So what I've learned to do is I go inside and I acknowledge I'm angry. I don't like this. What am I going to do about it? What am I going to do about it?
Right.
So I bought
right.
some nice, strong toolboxes with locks, and I locked up all my tools.
Mm-hmm. That takes care of
so
that.
That takes care of it, you see?
Yes.
I acted on my anger in a constructive way that lets me do something to defend myself and my property, right?
Mm-hmm.
Without
right.
having to try to make them change. This is empowering. Understand?
Empowering, right, right.
Empowering.
Taking responsibility, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if I denied the anger and, you blah, 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 and, whatever, you have to take responsibility. You are the one who has to understand that your emotions tell you there's something you need to do to fix a problem in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And when you find the solution, you'll come back to peace automatically.
I love that.
I don't get it.
I love that, I think you've given me a quick solution to it drives me nuts that my husband always leaves his clothes on the floor in the bedroom. I think you just gave me a solution to that. I'm going to move the hamper into the bedroom.
Well, right.
And that's
or
a simple, that's very simple, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, I can just cut that immediately. He's not going to change.
Anger is all about boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And your boundaries are about what you are willing and not willing to do. And you have to go in and do the internal work. So, for example, one situation dealing exactly with the kind of thing that you're dealing with is this. You just say to him, I'm putting the laundry hamper there. I won't wash clothes if they're not in the laundry hamper.
Yes. There you go.
Now, you do this calmly. There's no anger.
Right.
There's no whatever.
Right.
This is about my thing. I don't want to pick up your clothes. I mean, if you don't like the clothes in the middle of the floor, just kick him over into a corner or something like that. And if he doesn't put him in the laundry hamper and he complains, you look at him, well, honey, I'll wash whatever clothes are in the laundry hamper. Because this is about you, not about him. Understand?
Exactly.
This is about you. Anger
yes.
is about,
yes.
okay, anger tells you that I am not in control of my life. And when you take back control of your life and you own responsibility for yourself, anger dissipates into power and will. Got it?
Yes.
So I can
absolutely.
Go on the one hand, I can suppress my anger and I can let other people use me as a doormat and I'm just, I'm going to, let them mistreat
right.
me and abuse me
right.
and take advantage of me or whatever. Or on the other hand, I can mistreat and abuse them and yell at them and do bad things to them. Or I can just calmly take control of my own life and say, well, I will do this and I won't do that.
Yes. I mean, how they
respond is their business. Not mine.
Yes. That's right.
Now, see,
that's right.
What I'm saying is this mm-hmm. process of emotional healing, it becomes self-empowering because I learn by tuning into my own heart, my own feelings, and my own internal thing
mm-hmm.
to come into internal alignment and act from a place of personal power that is not harmful to others but is also honoring to myself.
Yes. Oh, I love that. That's very empowering. I mean, we have a lot of individuals who listen in who come from abusive backgrounds, and I'm going to have you talk about that in a little bit. But I'm just
uh-huh.
saying, just in these few minutes, I mean, you've really given a lot of information for people to empower their lives. I always say, you can take control of your life. We are in complete control, no one else. And even in... even sometimes we'll say, God did it or the devil did it. I mean, that's disempowering in itself because, again, we give those powers away. We don't take responsibility. I'd like you now, if you don't mind, Stephen, you say you have three spiritual principles used in your emotional healing. Would you share that with us, please, if you haven't already?
Well,
I don't believe we mm-hmm.
Well, the first one is actually unconditional love.
Unconditional
okay.
love. Yes.
Because first of all, what you're trying to do in emotional healing is help a person guide a person inward to become real and honest with themselves, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they are not going to open up all of that emotional pain that they've stuffed away to try to be accepted by people and so forth, if they don't feel that you are just basically okay with it, that you're just going to love and accept them, and that means you have to see them as God sees them. You have like three layers of your being. You have the core you, which is a divine child of God, and created in His image and is good, and then you have around that all of this garbage, okay, in your emotional world and belief systems that have led you to believe that you're bad and you're have this weakness and that weakness and this problem and that problem and everything, and then you have a public self that you put out to try to prove to the world that you're not like what you believe you are.
Right. Yes. Okay. Absolutely. The mask. Yes. Mm-hmm.
The mask.
Yes.
The mask. So you can't guide a person to go in and take a look at the part of themselves that they don't like, if you don't just lovingly accept them and believe in your heart that they're not that. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. That's not really them either. They just need to confront that. And there is in this process an empathy or oneness that's there. Because in order for me to be able to help someone process their anger, or I have to help or help someone process their fear or whatever, I have to be comfortable with my own.
Right. Yes.
Understand?
Absolutely.
If I'm denying or projecting my own, I'm going to have a hard time tolerating somebody else who's expressing theirs.
Yes. That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Another major principle is you don't fix people. You can't solve their problems. God does.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And so what happens, what I found over and over again, and this is really an interesting thing, is that when people go in and they confront what's inside of them, it's very humiliating, really, to admit your humanness.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that? Humility,
humanness, yes.
Humanness,
mm-hmm.
Humanity, okay? To because our ego wants us to think that we're better than other people, right?
Right. Yes. Uh-huh. That's
but,
right.
But if we but when we see that we're kind of like everybody else, we've got anger, we've got fear, we've got whatever, we got all these human emotions and human whatever. Then when I get real with that about that is when I can have a conversation with God. Because God dwells in the light of real, okay? And when you become real, the miracle that happens is when you get real and then you tell the person, you encourage them to say a prayer or look for the light or look for the divine help or whatever, once they're real, it's always there. It's always there. And when they go to that light, God gives them their answers. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the most interesting thing in doing emotional healing work is when I know the answer that they're going to get long before they do, but I'm not supposed to give it. I'm not supposed to give it to them because they have to discover it for themselves. You get it?
For themselves. That's right. That's right.
So like this one lady was going through this process of struggling out. Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? And I had an answer in my thing I wanted to tell her, but she couldn't do it. And so we had to end the session because it was in a class and we had to get out of the room. And the next day I actually was dropped off at the airport at the same time she was. And the spirit just prompted me to say to her, remember, be still and know that I am God. So because she was a person, one of these people who runs around like a chicken with their head cut off, being busy, busy, busy all the time.
Busy, yes.
You know, okay, and never taking the time to be quiet, to be still, because she's afraid to, you know, because we're afraid to do that because then we're going to confront our inner demons, right?
Right.
So
exactly.
So she got on the plane, she got quiet, and when she got quiet, she saw a light, and Jesus appeared to her. And she said, "Who am I?" And he said, "You are a child of God." And see, all the time that she was in that session running around, who am I, who am I, what I wanted to say to her, but knew I shouldn't, was you're a child of God, because you had to hear it from Jesus. because then she understood what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
If I had said it, it would just be words, right?
It would just be words, yes. Yes.
But when she experiences the love of Christ, right, and he says, you're a child of God, that's a totally different thing, right?
Totally different. So it was getting her in to be silent, which is a topic unto itself. We've had shows just on silence. If we could just, people would just be silent and hear the voice and hear.
Right.
Yeah.
I teach people that prayer is how you talk to God and meditation is how you let God talk
Absolutely.
To you.
Absolutely. That's right.
And I know lots of Christians are afraid of meditation.
Oh, Now, go there.
Have you seen that? Well, I was teaching this on my class, and somebody says, well, I'm afraid if I quiet my mind, the devil's going to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's a
huge barrier. Mm-hmm.
It is. And I'm sitting here thinking, so do you not believe what Jesus said? If you ask your Father in heaven for a loaf of bread, do you think he's going to give you a rock?
Mm-hmm.
You have to believe that God is more powerful than the devil. I think a lot of Christians are more afraid of the devil than they are in love with God.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. And they give him more power than they do God. I mean, I'm constantly confronted with that, Stephen, which is, why I have great guests like you on. Because we have all these incredible, beautiful words that are given to us from Jesus. And then when we begin to try to move them toward that, they fight it, they resent it, they say it's from the devil. I mean,
it's very odd, isn't it? Well,
it's
in Napoleon Hill's book, Outwitting the Devil, Napoleon Hill challenges him on religion, and he says,
"Oh,
I don't care about churches as long as they teach them to fear me. I don't care about it. Let them teach as long as they teach
Absolutely.
Them to fear me.
Okay?
Because it gives him power.
Gives him
right?
power. Absolutely. Yes. Oh, I'm there with you 120%.
The
even what you're talking about, today, inviting people to heal themselves. Again, I'm waiting for Jesus to heal me. Wait a minute. Okay, let's get an expert on and let's teach you. Yeah, Jesus will heal you, but there's some things we need to do together, or guide you, help you to do, so that we can get that true healing. Because Stephen, I don't know how you feel about this, but I think a lot of times religion is used just to mask all of that, and we don't get down to the nitty-gritty of healing. And that's what Miracle Zone is about. I want to see people really get healed, really be healed. Stop the nonsense.
Well, in my experience, all right, God has to have you exercise faith, which means that there is some action required on your part.
Yes.
Faith is not a passive thing.
In fact,
everything you do is based on faith. And I actually heard someone say the other day, and I forget where I heard it, but it made a heck of a lot of sense to me, is fear is putting faith in the devil.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, because what you are choosing to believe, right, is leading into what you're doing, and therefore what you're doing. And when people talk about belief, Jesus says all things are possible to him that believeth. Does that mean that all things are possible to someone who accepts a certain doctrine and a certain dogma and a certain creed? Or does it mean that there's something about faith that if you learn how to exercise faith, there's no problem that you can't solve?
That's right.
There's nothing
that's
that
right.
this life throws at you that you can't overcome.
That you can't overcome, exactly. Exactly.
With God as your partner, there's nothing that you can't overcome in this life.
Nothing impossible. Mm-hmm.
But most people want that, just like they want the drug to fix their health problems without them having to change their diet or exercise or get more sleep or do something to take better care of their body. They want God to come in and miraculously heal their life without them having to change anything. And it's not going to happen.
It doesn't happen.
Because the universe is based on cause and effect. And God basically lets you put out whatever energy you put out. And then that energy comes back to you. And so if I'm putting out energy, what I mean, I'm basing my actions on my anger or my fear and my negativity, then guess what comes back to me?
Yeah. Fear, anger, and negativity.
because my emotional energy is the life energy that along with my beliefs creates my life. So if you instead own your emotion, right, you go in, I'm angry. You know what? I'm angry. What can I do about it that's constructive? Constructive, right? What can I do that's constructive with my anger? God will show you how to deal constructively with that anger.
Yes.
He'll give you ideas of things that you can do that are respectful to you and respectful to others.
Yes.
And you know what? There is a possibility that you might have to defend your life or the life of your family by harming someone, but it's not because you want to. Understand?
Right. Yes.
You could do that
absolutely.
With complete calmness and hate the fact that you had to do it, but you do it because you know that you have to protect your family and your loved ones, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Someone else who's dysfunctional. It's all about the inner journey, because all of the journey to find God is not out there in the world.
Right.
It's inside of us. We're the temple
of God. It's within. Yes.
And if you look look at the construction of the ancient temple, with the outer court and the inner court where the priests offered the sacrifice, and then the middle court, I mean the inner court where God dwells, and the high priest goes to visit God. That's a model for us.
Yes.
Okay, we have an outer physical body. We have an inner soul body, which is where our emotions dwell. All right, and you lay those emotions, you lay that anger, that fear, that whatever on the altar. Okay, and say, look, God, I'm afraid. I need help. Okay, and God says, sure, happy to help. But as long as you're denying it and making someone else responsible for it, you can't do that.
No.
You have to get to the point where you own it.
Yes.
This is my fear. This is my anger. It's like one author I read said, suppose you go to the doctor and you say, doctor, I'm depressed. I need some medication. He says, sure, I'll give some medicine to your wife.
Mm,
you go, what?
Good example.
What?
Right.
Okay. You say, okay. So whatever the negative emotional stuff going on in you, the person who needs the medicine, the healing from the Lord, is you, not anybody else.
Not anyone else. That's absolutely correct. And that's so beautiful, too. I know I, at one time, was dealing with a lot of anger, Stephen, and one day, and I was doing exactly what you're talking about, you know, and just repressing and suppressing, and I still deal with it. I mean, I just want to make that clear. I've learned how to do exactly what you're saying, you know, allow it to come up. But this one particular time, I was angry, and I was by myself, and I was meditating. I was talking at God at that moment, and I remember just thinking, well, why am I trying to hide this from God? Because He certainly knows that I'm angry. And so I sat there, and we had this conversation. And I actually said, you know what? I'm dang on angry. I'm pissed. I mean, that's the way I said it, Stephen. And I thought, wow, that feels so much better, because now I don't have to think that I need to hide it. How foolish.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not hiding anything, are you?
Well, you are. You see the reason.
To myself.
Let me tell you another little thing. I don't know if you ever read Danion Brinkley's book, Saved by the Light.
No, I have not read that one.
But Danyon Brinkley was an a-hole. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, he was a bully. He beat people up. He went into the military. He sold arms into Nicaragua. He was like, you know,
not
a very nice guy. And he got struck by lightning. And he went into the presence of Jesus. And
I love it.
And here's the thing. I've heard people talk about life review, but he put a twist on it that I never heard before. He said that he not only saw everything he'd ever done, he felt the impact of everything that he had done as if he had done it to himself.
Wow.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
He literally followed every gun he had sold in Nicaragua, saw every person who had died with those guns, all the families that had been torn apart, all the evil, he felt the humiliation of every kid he'd beat up. Our life has a ripple effect. And what we do to others, we are doing to ourselves because we are all one. Because we are all connected, we are all one.
And so
when Jesus made him go back, and then he started working hospice, and he started feeding homeless people, and he started doing all these good things. And he had a second near-death experience when he was on the operating table for heart problem from the being struck by lightning. And he went back through his life again, saw everything, except in the part of his life since the first near-death experience, he felt the joy that he had brought to everyone he had served. That is the difference between heaven and hell. Understand?
Yes. Absolutely.
And he said this. He said, so what I understand is to go into the light with God means you are going to see yourself absolutely truthfully.
Mm-hmm.
And most people do not want to go to God because they don't want to have to face themselves.
No.
Do you understand?
Yes.
So
if you go in,
the process of what I call emotional healing is going inward and owning up to all your
owning
stuff.
Owning up. And that's pretty frightening.
It is. It's
like
terrifying.
Said, that's pretty frightening.
People are scared of it. That's why often you have to sit there and really, really hold them by the hand and love them and help them do this. And some people aren't. Some people aren't ready to do it. But when a person is and they own up, and there's a point at which whenever they get to that point where they're being really, really honest with themselves and they're really humiliated, which is being humbled, then they can go to God. God, I please need it. Please, I need help. And he says, sure, I love you. I love you. You didn't have to do anything to earn my love. You didn't have to do anything to deserve my love.
Right.
I've been here for you all along.
Mm-hmm.
I've been here for you all along, and I'm happy to help you anytime.
Yes.
That's our Father in heaven.
Begin to love themselves as well, because that's a huge part of it.
Right.
Loving themselves.
Because what transforms you from the inside out is the unconditional love of God.
Mm-hmm.
When you understand the condescension of God, that God comes down and loves you just as you are completely, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And how can you hate anybody else?
Exactly.
Right? You may struggle with the problems in relationships and everything, but you can't hate people because as Jesus said to me, okay, he said, the only reason why people commit sin, as it is called, is because they're cut off from this light of unconditional love. And they're lost, they're alone, they're hurt, and they're afraid, and they're acting out of their fear and their pain. He said, you can't cure darkness with darkness. And the tools of darkness are shame, fear, guilt, and blame. You cure darkness by shining a light into it, and the light that cures the darkness of this world is the unconditional love that you're experiencing right now. And that is it. It is only that unconditional love that has the power to heal and transform people from the inside out. All our all our blaming them and being angry with them and trying to shame them and make them feel guilty and all that only serves to entrench in further that they're bad, there's something wrong with them, and therefore they're not worthy to get God's help.
That's right.
We're all the prodigal sons and daughters. We're all the prodigal sons and daughters. God has given us all this wonderful inheritance, and we're squandering it right and left. And then one day we wake up and we realize, what am I doing? Oh,
exactly.
God's going to be so mad at me. But at least I'll go back and grovel. And he comes back and welcomes you with rejoicing.
Yes, absolutely.
That story is all of us.
Yes.
All of us.
The prodigal son in each of us. Now, if we may, do we have a few minutes? Maybe we can talk a little bit about ritualistic abuse. And I'm sorry if you can hear that banging in behind me. There's some work being done, and I can't really control that. So I hope it doesn't sound like it's throwing you off.
I don't hear it that well much. Okay.
Good.
There are people, and this is not a pleasant conversation to talk about, but there are people in this world who have given themselves wholly over to evil, and they do abuse that is just cold and calculated. It's not like losing your temper and doing something. They do it deliberately for fun, okay? And they do some very, very horrible things. And there are people in this country who have been victims of ritualistic abuse. After I had been doing this for about 3 or 4 years was when God brought me my first case of ritualistic abuse. And it took all the skills I'd learned up to that point to really deal with it. But it's a big problem. And I became aware at that time that there are people in high positions and in places of power who do this, who literally, abuse young children and teenagers and other people in what really amounts to torture. Okay, so we don't need to go into details of what they do, but this can be healed. Everything can be healed. No matter what you've been through, there is a healing power that can help you heal from it. Okay? But you still have to go confront. You don't have to confront. Okay, when I talk about confronting something, I don't mean you have to go back and relive what happened to you. What you have to do is confront the emotions that it's left in you. The fear, right? The anxiety, the depression, the whatever. You have to go inward and feel that, right? Own it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That you're depressed, that you're angry, that you're whatever, and get real about it. And one of the things we didn't talk about, the third principle, is emotions discharge through bodily movement. And so basically people wind up having I help people to scream. I help people to break down and convulsively sob. I get people shaking, their whole body shaking in fear, and I'm totally relaxed about this because I've watched over and over again is that emotion moves through their body. It releases all that tension that's been trapping all that pain, and as that is allowed to move out, they come to peace, and then they can get still and go inside and find healing. And this is one thing that I think is hugely different than what I do than what most psychology and counseling do, because they're all afraid to go there.
Right.
This is terrifying, but I've come to understand this is part of the healing process, and the whole reason why you don't heal from the trauma or abuse is no one really allowed you to cry. No one really allowed you to express your anger over being hurt. Nobody really allowed you to tremble and get over the fear. And you have to love people enough to let them go through that process. I can't tell
and
you how many times.
They have to feel safe enough with you, I would think, just that being
exactly.
safe. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I am I've done this so much that just sitting with a person, a lot of times they will start to go and they'll start to get in their story and everything. And as they start to talk about what's happened to them, tears will well up in their eyes and they'll go, oh, I'm so sorry. Because immediately what happens when you start to show emotion? You feel ashamed, right? Why is that? It's the weirdest thing, okay? But I say, it's okay. Cry. It's good to cry. And they feel it. They know that if they cry in front of me, they will not feel any condemnation or anything from me. You have to let people go through that process. It's part of the healing process. And then they can move out through the other side and find release from it. So it's a really, really interesting thing. And that it's, and like I say, it's scary. So you have to understand and be okay with it. I don't know. My brain just says it's time for you to like wrap up with whatever question you have, because I felt like that train of thought ended.
Okay. Well, I was just enjoying it. I'm just enjoying how you are sharing how we're healed, and I so appreciate you coming on. You have a great deal of information out there. You have books. If you would now share that information with our listeners. And then maybe share how someone could find you and receive your services. How about you do that with us now?
Okay. Well, first of all, I recommend, I am teaching emotional healing training program this year. It is entirely free. If you go to my website, treelite.com. That's where the information about my courses and things we have for sale are. And there's a page you can link to join the free webinars. They're also posted on my YouTube channel, which is Herbal Education, or you can just look me up, you know, Stephen Horn, Stevenhorne. I have a website that's stevenhorne.com, and also on YouTube you can find me, Stephen Horn, on YouTube, and you'll find the playlist of the sessions I've already done. I encourage anybody who's interested in this, listen to it. It is free, okay? And so they can go through that. If you start going through that and you want to help, I do have workshops. The first one is coming in May. You can read about that on treelite.com. But you have to go through some of the online training before you can come to a workshop. Okay?
Okay.
To get you ready for what you're going to experience there. The workshops do cost money. I do limited amount of personal consults. You can, if you go to stevenhorne.com, there's a find an herbalist thing, and you can look me up in there, and you can find my scheduling thing, link to schedule to me.
Okay. To
meet with me. And I have a member program where I actually do a couple of webinars every month for our members, one on the physical healing track and another one on body, mind, spirit, social, emotional. I talk about all kinds of things. I talk about education, economics, personal relationships, all kinds of holistic things that you can do to improve your life. All of that's part of my member program. But there's plenty of free information on my YouTube channel and that you can listen to and get started.
Fabulous. If you gave us so much information, but if there was one little golden nugget that you would want our listeners to remember, if nothing else, what would that be?
It would be that through, with the help of God, okay, you can overcome anything. Whatever life is presenting, whatever challenge is presenting to you, if you bring in God as your ally, and you're willing to listen to God's advice and follow it, right?
Yes.
Because God will tell you what to do, and if you're unwilling to do it, He's not going to magically lift you out of your things if you're not willing to put forth the effort to make the changes that he will tell you to make. But if you, he can help you overcome anything. I have overcome so many things in my life, and I've helped lots of other people overcome things in their life. There is no challenge that God presents us to in our life, there's no challenge that Satan presents, just because God doesn't actually present the challenge. There's no challenge the opposition presents to us that God can't help us overcome. God is more powerful than Satan. And if you turn to God in faith and you believe that he can help you overcome it, he will. He will guide you. He will lead you to resources. He will lead you to people. He will open up doors for you. He will help you. You just have to persistently believe that God can help you, and he can.
Yes. I love that. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us today. I so appreciate you. I know you have a very busy schedule, and you took time out to join me and my guests on Miracle Zone. So blessings to you. Blessings.
Okay, well, thank you, and blessings to you too, and keep up your good work.
Thank you, and you do as well. And thank you.
Great.
And I'll say to the rest of our listeners, we love you. We'll be back next week, and we'll hear you then. Bye-bye.